Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, November 25th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. I'm joined by Chris Hummer, national college football writer for 24/7 Sports. Chris, it's late Tuesday night. We have playoff rankings finally out. November 24th is a little later than what we're used to for the rankings, but we have them. And I think there's enough storylines here to pique my interest. Usually I can't always talk myself into caring every Tuesday, but this is pretty good. And I was reading your takeaways article, and I agreed with you leading off with a group of five teams. Usually we don't do that, but where Cincinnati is and then where BYU is grabbed your attention, didn't it?
Yeah, it has to. And like, these rankings were something. Like, I realize this must have been a very difficult job for the committee, given how uneven a lot of these resumes were. But there are some eye-opening selections. But I think you have to start with Cincinnati. The Bearcats checked in at number 7, and that's a bit of a history-making kind of note, because no team in the college football ranking 7-year history from the group of five had ever ranked higher than 8th. And that was UCF in 2018, kind of at the top of their 27-game win streak. That was as good as it gets for a group of five team, we thought. But Cincinnati at 8-0 without a Power 5 victory is ahead of teams like Northwestern, which is 5-0 in the Big Ten, Miami at 7-1. Like, that's pretty surprising to me. I expected Cincinnati to be 9th or 10th behind probably those two teams, but the committee placing them there positioned Cincinnati to make a legitimate run at the playoff if things break their way.
So for Cincinnati, what needs to happen other than going undefeated? The eye test, how much does it matter, Chris, as far as blowing teams out? And then I saw that it has, some opponents like Tulsa. It needs Tulsa currently at 25 to stay in those rankings. It needs some American teams to stay ranked. You think this is legitimate?
I think they have a shot. It's like they're going to need some help. There's no question about that. They need Alabama to win out. They need Ohio State to win out. They need Notre Dame to win out.
Yep.
Because if Clemson enters the ACC championship game with one loss, beats Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's a one-loss team, and that game is reasonably close the second time around, Notre Dame is getting in the playoff over Cincinnati. Absolutely no doubt in my mind. And it would also help Cincinnati if Texas A&M lost one more time. But I don't even think it's a guarantee, based on kind of where we sit now, that Texas A&M ranks ahead of Cincinnati at the end of the day. I think the maximum number of games Texas A&M can play at this point is 9, based on the way the schedule sets up. Cincinnati can play 11. And Cincinnati still, as you said, has a top 25 game against Tulsa. So if they dominate there, kind of really show they belong, I think there's a chance. But they kind of need all that to happen, plus like the committee not falling in love with somebody like a 2-loss Oklahoma, which kind of surprised me at number 11 in these initial rankings. So if Oklahoma gets really hot, blows teams out the rest of the way, like there's a chance a 2-loss Oklahoma isn't over Cincinnati. But like, UCF never had a chance. For Cincinnati to even be in this position is really notable.
So while you were doing that, I realized I should probably read out the top 10. So gather your BYU thoughts while I do that. Bama's 1. Notre Dame is number 2. Number 3 is Clemson. Number 4 is Ohio State. Chris, that's exactly how you had it in your projections piece on Tuesday morning, so job well done. 5 is A&M. 6 is Florida. 7, Cincinnati, as you know. 8 is Northwestern. 9 is Georgia, which we both think is too high. And 10 is Miami. You go all the way down to 14 to finally find BYU. Look, the Cougars' schedule, we've been talking about it for months now. It's not what it was supposed to be before COVID-19 hit. They played Boise State. They played Houston, Navy, and Troy. They're blasting opponents, massive scoring margin. Every game but one is by 17 points or more. They have open schedules, or they have open dates remaining. There's talk that they could schedule something with Washington. I don't know where that sits right now, but Chris, it seems like they kind of need to do something here. Schedule a Pac-12 team or two, in addition to its San Diego State clash on December 12th, to have any hope at all of moving up, and I think we both know it's slim here.
Yeah, I think BYU's playoff chances were done tonight. Like, absolutely no shot, no matter who they schedule. Even if you schedule Oregon, which I guess could conceivably happen with Oregon having a bye or an open week this week because the Civil War being canceled. Like, that win's not going to be enough to put BYU ahead of these teams. But I just want to say real quick, and this is more of an opinion, like, BYU being ranked behind Iowa State, which got blasted in week one by Louisiana, is absolutely ridiculous. Like, BYU is beating teams by 31.4 points per game. Like, I understand that the competition hasn't been very good. I understand their best win comes with an asterisk with Boise State having multiple players out. But, like, you don't beat teams by 31 points a game by accident. BYU is legitimate. And if you watch them every week, or if you watch them even sometimes, you would see that. This one by the committee is kind of crazy to me. Like, I just don't understand.
I'm going to fact check you there. Oregon versus Oregon State has not been canceled.
Oh, I am so sorry.
No, it's fine. I have a vested interest in that game. The Pac-12, Chris, while we're there, and then I promise everyone we're going to jump to the front runners. The Pac-12, you said BYU's chances are cooked. I kind of feel like the Pac-12s are too, huh? Like, Oregon's 15, USC's 18. Washington's not in there yet.
Yeah.
It would behoove one of these schools to play BYU as well.
Yeah, no chance. They can have a maximum of 7 games if you win the Pac-12 championship. And, like, that's just not going to get it done because there's nobody other than themselves. There's nobody on the schedule that's kind of close to being a top 25 team. Maybe Washington works its way there. But given kind of the mass cancelizations we're seeing out west, like, I wonder if either one of the teams is going to be able to get their whole regular season schedule in. And I just think with those two teams being 15 and 18 respectively, and Ohio State being number 4 with just 4 wins, kind of shows you the difference between how the committee looks at a contender like Ohio State versus the Pac-12's 2 top teams. I think if the committee thought more highly of either one of those teams, they would be ranked a little higher.
I wasn't on with you for Monday's episode, but if I was, I would have mentioned that Oregon is playing like it knows it doesn't have a chance in the Pac-12. Or in the playoff race, not sharp at all. Okay, let's move to the top. Alabama went out, you're in. You probably get in even if you lose to Florida. Notre Dame and Clemson, like, we think we know what's going to happen there. What happens if Notre Dame loses to North Carolina on Friday, Chris? North Carolina is 19 in the rankings. I think that could potentially be the largest playoff wrench right now. And I guess we don't quite know, but the teams who it could benefit, like an Oklahoma sitting down there at 11. You were slacking me yesterday. You said, hey, I'm predicting it now. Oklahoma's furious case for a playoff bid is going to be a big storyline in the next month because the Sooners are playing so well and their losses were so early. And you know, Oklahoma has some playoff street cred. But there's the potential here for some weirdness. And I do think it starts with Notre Dame versus North Carolina on Friday.
Yeah, North Carolina is a fun chaos team in general. Like, North Carolina is very good, and they still have Miami, and they still have Notre Dame left on the schedule, a pair of top 10 teams. So North Carolina can throw a real wrench in the playoff talk. And honestly, like, I'm not saying North Carolina is going to get back in this mix. Like, you can't after losing to Florida State this year. But, like, I think you could see North Carolina, if they win both of those games, like, make a push, and people will talk about them as a potential playoff team. But they're not going to get in. But anyway, like, yeah, Notre Dame losing, I don't really think affects the playoff race all that much, but it does make things a little easier for Cincinnati because, like, the winner of that Clemson Notre Dame game is going to get in and the loser is going to be out. Like, any scenario in which two teams from the SEC or the ACC gets in makes everything else a lot less kind of interesting. So if, let's say, North Carolina was to upset Notre Dame this weekend, I think it would actually solidify the playoff path a little bit more for other teams, but it would open things up for the rest of the kind of teams in the mix.
When you see Clemson at 3 and Ohio State at 4, does that mean the committee cares more about the number of games played? Clemson's played 8 games, Ohio State's played 4. Or does the committee care more about that, like, Ohio State didn't look very good against Indiana?
I think it's a combination of both. I think we know very well, and Ohio State fans know really well, that extra data points matter to the committee when comparing like teams. And I think that certainly makes a difference. Clemson's played double the number of games. But I think Clemson, for the most part, like, they've had some scares, but they've looked just as dominant, if not more dominant, than Ohio State so far. Like, Ohio State's looked good, but I don't think they've looked like the juggernaut maybe we expected. that Indiana game certainly raises some eyebrows. The way Rutgers kind of started to come back in the second half raises some eyebrows. So I think we still have questions about Ohio State, and it does not surprise me at all that they went with a team with a larger sample size, given that both teams have kind of played to the same level this season, if not Clemson a little higher.
I expected to see Ohio State at 4, but you know, call me insane, but if they had even said A&M or Florida above the Buckeyes, I wouldn't have blinked all too much. Just the number of games played,
same,
and the fact that Ohio State hasn't lit the world on fire. And I am, for as far as Ohio State goes, and if they went out there, in their schedule just isn't very good, Chris. I don't know if we're going to have an idea as of to who Ohio State is until the playoff, because they're going to play Northwestern in the Big Ten title game, probably. Wisconsin just had a game canceled this weekend. The Badgers are going to be below the threshold, plus they already lost to Northwestern. But Michigan's not good. Like, Penn State wasn't good. Props to Indiana. Pleasing to see them at 12.
Like, the Big Ten is so wide open right now. I don't really know how good anybody is. Like, Iowa, honestly, might be the second best team in the Big Ten. Like, I do wonder if Iowa and Northwestern played again. I think Iowa wins that game. So just kind of, and given how up and down Wisconsin was due to kind of the COVID situation and everything else that's happened in the league, I totally agree. Like, we're not going to know about Ohio State until playoff time.
The College Football Daily will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Iowa comes in at number 24. All right, we'll get you out of here with this. Tell me your team that's ranked too high, and then tell me your team that's ranked too low.
Georgia's way too high.
Like, and you can't repeat things. Like, you can't say BYU at 14. So Georgia at 9, yeah, too high, right?
Way too high. Like, they've gotten blown out by the two best teams they've played this year.
Yeah, and then they beat Mississippi State by a touchdown. They've just now found their quarterback. I can see a scenario in a month where Georgia's definitely a top 10 team, but
they're not playing with it.
You know, I don't see them beating Miami or Oklahoma right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Georgia's way too high, and I think it's a little bit of an SEC bias move by the committee. Like, the talent's there, but I don't think the results have been there to justify Georgia being ranked behind or ranked ahead of Miami, even at a number 10. As for too low, maybe I'm being a G5 guy right here, but Coastal.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Texas at 17.
Texas is not ranked too low. Texas is ranked, in my opinion, too high. Yeah, no, it's fun. But like, I think Coastal Carolina and Marshall together, they're a combined 15-0. I probably ranked a touch too low. I'd like to see a little bit of credit given there. If you're going to point out a specific team like that has a chance to even be in this mix, I think Indiana at 4-1 should maybe be ranked slightly higher. But I think Georgia's the one that really sticks out in my mind.
Yeah. Well, it was a fun conversation, Chris. I think remember last year the first rankings had, you know, Penn State 4 and Clemson 5, so that was a good storyline. But I don't know. This feels like a pretty meaty top 25 from the playoff committee. So excited to see how it changes as the weeks go on. I feel like we have several compelling scenarios set to play out. This weekend will be big. And I think I'm already starting to get excited for championship weekend. So fingers crossed that we get there, even as the road might be bumpy. All right, Chris, thanks for joining us, man. Happy Thanksgiving. I appreciate you being on the College Football Daily twice in the last 3 days. You're a workhorse, and it's you deserve a few days off, as do I, maybe. So speaking of that, this will be our last episode of the College Football Daily until next Monday. So, you know, enjoy your football, enjoy your food. If you are lucky enough to be with your family this week, be safe and enjoy that too. For Chris Hummer, for our producer, Michael Mormile, I'm Trey Scott. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Monday for the College Football Daily.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.